Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart and united to one another with pure affection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The servant sent to Laban, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become wealthy. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female slaves, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and he has given him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house, to my kindred, and get a wife for my son.' I came today to the spring and said, 'O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make successful the way I am going, I am standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, "Please give me a little water from your jar to drink," and who will say to me, "Drink, and I will draw for your camels also," let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew. I said to her, "Please let me drink." She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I will also water your camels." So I drank, and she also watered the camels. Then I asked her, "Whose daughter are you?" She said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nathan's son, whom Malkah bore to him." So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to obtain the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you will deal loyally and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, so I may turn either to the right hand or to the left." And they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" She said, "I will." So they sent away her sister Rebekah and her nurse, along with Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "May you, our sister, become thousands of myriads. May your offspring gain possession of the gates of their foes." Then Rebekah and her maids rose up, mounted the camels, and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had come to Beer Lahairoi, and was settled in the Negev. Isaac went out in the evening to walk in the field, and looking up, he saw camels coming. And Rebekah looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she slipped quickly from the camel and said to the servant, "Who is this man over there walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer that I do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer that I do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Shall reign.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My apologies if you came to hear Dee preach today, but he has a lot of things going on right now. And so he begged off, and Robert called me in to pinch hit. and it switched from morning prayer to communion today, so here we are. But what I have today to say today, and I struggled with this because the lessons were so rich and so broad that I decided not to yoke about the eggs. Wait a minute. No yoke about, never mind. But you're a yoked parish, so you know how yoking can work or not work, as the case may be. I chose to look more deeply into this word yoke with which Jesus ends the discourse for today. Because while it's really commonplace, we all know what a yoke is. It's that piece of wood or other material that goes over the matched pairs of oxen who pull the plow. A yoke. We all know what that is. But the agrarian society of Jesus and Matthew's time, they probably saw it more simply. They probably saw it simply as being said, take the responsibility for your faith in God upon you, because Jesus makes it easy for you. Whereas when you unpack the word yoke, it has many layers of meaning, many different interpretations that we can give to it. Yes, it is indeed a way to link two beasts of burden who have to do a lot of heavy lifting, so to speak, and hauling. And if you relate to those who are yoked, then we see it the same way that they probably did in Jesus' time. God doesn't put more on us than we can handle. I think there's one paraphrase of Scripture that has been quoted many times. But there's another layer there that you have to take into account as well, because Jesus goes on to say, pulling with me is light. It's easy when I pull with you. In other words, the yoking is not just with another beast of burden, but when we are doing the Lord's work with Jesus by our side, it makes the load a lot more bearable. The only problem is, how often do we yoke ourselves with Jesus? And more often we yoke ourselves with more worldly things, such as our success, our job, our finances, our standing. We like to think that we're rough, tough Americans who pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We don't need that kind of help until something devastating happens. And then pulling with Jesus really helps. Now, if you looked at it that way in the old days, you might have said, well, you know, if you knew anything about animal husbandry, you may know that not all yoke pairs pulled evenly. Sometimes they would put a new ox with an old ox so the old ox could show the new ox the way, which also fits with Jesus pulling with us, because Jesus is in many ways much more experienced in being a beast of burden than we are. But oftentimes that did not work, and things went off the rails if you didn't have a matched pair. Which brings me to the last layer of the image. The yoked pair. When you think about the yoked pair, you have to think about with whom you are yoked and how well does it work? You know as well as I do, if you're yoked with somebody who's not holding up their side of the burden, it puts even more on you. It's a lot harder to work with somebody you can't agree with than it is to work with somebody who's so much like you. So, yoked pairs, as you know, for being yoked with St. Albans, it needs a fair amount of equanimity, that you have to have a sense of we're both in this together and pulling together. That's why this yoked pairs image is so powerful. Think about it in terms of the most famous yoke pair that in which many of us live, marriage. I can attest, for having been twice married now, that the first one didn't work. I thought it was great until all of a sudden it wasn't. And if you don't have the same basic values, the same basic goals, the same basic sense of responsibility, it's not going to work. And that's why we talk about Christian marriage, when both members of the marriage are equal in their faith. And it's so important, like when you're raising children, to put up a united front. And even if you don't feel united, it's important for that unanimity to hold forth, that you support one another. I used to tell people I would counsel about marriage when we talk about faith. I said, you don't have to go to the same church. That's not so important if you're not both Episcopalians or both Baptists or both whatever. But at least support the other person in his or her choice of church. That way, there's a sense that what you're doing is being committed to each other in the name of God. And therefore, you'll have a better chance of surviving the many ways that the burdens can weigh you down and make life even more difficult. There's another sense of the yoked pair that is so important, and that's the whole sense of community that we get from being yoked with others in our communities of faith, in our churches, or in our small groups. When we're paired with somebody else who has the same basic commitment to God's will and God's sense of worthiness and belonging in the world, you have more of a chance of being productive and supportive and rewarded. And then I like to move to another famous yoked pair that we often take for granted. And I thought of this because one of the TV shows that my wife and I enjoy is the PBS show Nature. And the one for this past week was fascinating. If it was about octopuses, I was always taught to say octopi, but they don't do that anymore. Octopuses. And it was this guy that's done a whole bunch of research about octopuses. And so to be able to do that more easily and more continuously, he had a big aquarium built in his living room and put an octopus in there. And he and his daughter would pay attention to the octopus almost round the clock. Not when they went to bed, of course, but almost every waking moment they were home. It was fascinating what they learned about octopuses. They are one of the most intelligent animals. They got no bones. They have three hearts and blue blood. But they can go in all sorts of places and crevices and holes. And they even use tools. One of them that they researched, not the one in their living room, used two coconuts as a shelter in the ocean and would hide from things that wanted to hunt until they'd see it. And he'd pounce out and get it and eat it and go back into his shell, so to speak. And yet these creatures, and they showed all the tree of life and where they fit and how they're so intelligent. But these creatures only live to be about 2 years old. So they get so smart in such a short life, and then they die. And when you think of the vast expanse of interstellar space, the planets in their courses, and this fragile Earth, our island home, we are but the shortest lifespan. And we have to make the most of it while we can. That's why being yoked with nature, being yoked with the environment, is what God gave us initially to make life really work. And what have we done? We've taken on more than our share of the burden, and we're at the point of destroying the rest of it. If we don't do something fast, our several decades are going to be reduced to none. And yet we go blithely along, shouldering our burdens as if it were all about failing or succeeding, getting rich or not getting rich, and we don't think about what we have to do to preserve this yoked pair with which we live, move, and have our being. So the image of the yoke has so many intricacies, so many things to consider about who we are and how we are called to live. So let me close with some of the most famous ways that this passage has been treated. We know it so well because those of us who've been Episcopalians for a long time recognize it in the comfortable words right after the absolution of our sins. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Or maybe if we're musically inclined, whenever we hear this, we think about, take my yoke upon you and learn. What's that? You can't recognize my singing, I know. But from the Messiah. Yeah, that music keeps coming back into my head whenever I observe this passage. And then there's one that I hope will be somewhat new to you, and although it's basically the same. It comes from an old paraphrase written by an Englishman almost 50 years ago now, when in his book, New World, The Heart of the New Testament in Plain English, a paraphrase written back in the late 60s, early 70s, and first published in the U.S. in 73, by Alan T. Dale, a Britisher. And here's how he paraphrased it. Come here to me, all you who are tired with hard work. I will put new life into you. Let me give you a hand and show you how to live. I'll go your pace and see you through, and I will give you the secret of the quiet mind. Pulling with me is easy. The load with me is light. Again, a double entendre. For pulling with Christ is indeed light. Let there be light. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray for the church and for the world.
I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for our Bishop Brian, for this gathering, and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or deeper knowledge of him. Pray that they may find and be found by him. I ask your prayers for the departed. Pray for those who have died. I ask your prayers for Ava, Belinda and Cindy, Henry, Harry and Terry, Bob, Julianne, Kelly, Debbie, Randy, Bill, Peggy, Sharon, Mark, Judy. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and unity of that heavenly city, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign now and forever. Amen." Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Peace be.
You guys can do it.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Of Jacob, our guardian.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might.
We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with blessed Thaddeus and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the heavenly glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The gifts of God given for you, the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now unto God's gracious mercy and protection, we commit ourselves. May God bless us and keep us. May God's face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. And may the light of God's countenance lift us up and give us power and peace to know and to do God's will this day and evermore. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia.